When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What did you think of Kelsier?
Definitely the most magnetic character that Sanderson's ever written.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Two to Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
Rich. Today.
We're finally talking
today
about it.
Today is going to be a day when I didn't jump back to you.
We're coming back to Sanderson. We're coming back. We're coming back to the old faithful.
Yeah.
Always a good time.
Always.
Like, there's a variety of like, oh, what's Sanderson's best? What's Sanderson's worst? Almost always, it's at least a good time. He's consistent with that.
That is completely true. And I can't believe, I'm sorry to everybody out there. By the way, we're talking Mistborn.
Yeah.
Spoiler free for the first 10, 15 minutes. So don't worry, we're not going to spoil you yet. But I feel like I have to finally come out and say this. Rich, I was a fraud. I called myself a Sanderson fan.
That is true.
I called myself, I said, you know what? I am the Sanderson stan. I'm the number one Sanderson fan. And I hadn't read Mistborn yet. I'd read Stormlight first, then I went to Warbreaker, then I read things like Edge Dancer that was part of Stormlight, and then
we missed Dawn Shard.
Emperor's Soul.
You went all around.
And then came to Mistborn, where if you're just hearing Sanderson or Mistborn for the first time, Mistborn is a great place to start. Maybe don't do what Rich or I did, where we started with Stormlight Archive.
Yeah, to give all further context for me, I have read Mistborn close to just under 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit further removed. I read some summaries, but the person who's fresh is Austin here. So he just finished reading it. He's going to be helping me out with some details, but you'll have the person who's just read the book and someone who's read the book, you know, quite a while ago. Fresh and so clean.
So Mistborn, again, keeping this spoiler free, I don't know why it took me so long to get the Mistborn other than...
I don't know.
I think Stormlight was just... We decided to read it. And also...
Did you have a thing in your mind of like, I've already read the Big Daddy Brandon Sanderson series. Why do I need to take a step back and try, you know, Sanderson Light?
Yeah.
Was that kind of like...
I guess so. I was like, all right, this is Magnus Opus is Stormlight. Mistborn, I'm sure, is great. But I'm reading Stormlight. I guess that,
why
that was
do I
part
need,
of it.
Why do I need Sanderson, but less so? Is your in your head?
Yeah, I guess so. But okay. It turns out Mistborn has better aspects than Stormlight.
True.
There are, which we'll get into, and one of those being magic system.
This was close to like 2 years ago. One of our early videos, we were talking about magic systems and just kind of ranking them. Mm-hmm. And I told you, just like, yeah, honestly, Sanderson's Allomancy and the, you know, different ones alongside that as well is probably his best magic system and one of the best magic systems in fantasy.
Yeah.
And you're like, sure, I'll... Okay. And you haven't read who we moved on.
But now I can talk about it with you. And for those of you curious and trying to be convinced to read Sanderson for the first time or Mistborn for the first time, this is a heist story. It follows the heist format. It is very... If you're not into fantasy a bunch and you're kind of just looking, hey, where should I start with fantasy in general? Great, even starter fantasy book. And this Ocean's 11 type heist story, Sanderson's going, okay, what if I put a heist story in a fantasy world, and this fantasy world is a world where Voldemort won? Essentially, he read Harry Potter and went, ooh, wouldn't it be interesting if Harry Potter failed and Voldemort, the evil bad, the Sauron, they won, And now we're following characters who 1,000 years into the reign of this Lord Evil Ruler.
Everything would be pretty great.
Because there's no democracy for you.
There would be no more Muggles.
Ah.
All good thing. Yeah. You know, why are Muggles here? Why would they exist?
So this story's for people like Rich. Exactly. Like, yes. You're like, okay. What?
Fans of, you know, the divine right of rulers. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good.
And unfortunately for Rich, it's about Kelsier, one of the main characters in the book. It follows Kelsier and Vin. Vin is a 16-year-old character. Kelsier is like more mentor-type character. And you get this initial role where Kelsier comes to Vin and says, hey, we're going to go take down the Lord Ruler who's immortal, has been here for 1,000 years, and is like, nah, basically you can't kill him. And we're going to somehow defeat him. And that's the premise of the book. So, unfortunately for you, they actually want to take down the Lord Ruler. So
yeah, that's a real shame. We don't like those rabble-rousers that try and buck the rightful authority. It's not good.
No, and I think for you, even though it didn't go down the way I want, you would kind of want more. It would be interesting to see a book from the Lord Ruler's perspective, from the monarch who's like, man, I'm trying my best. And then all these rebellions, and then they're really a good person. They're like, everyone, all this PR, man, they're being so mean to me.
Raffo.
Oh, shoot. Well, maybe. Okay. What? Okay.
Got to read on to the rest of the series, bud.
Okay. I'll hold back on that. All right. So this is also a very important note to make. So this is for you, Rich. I'm noting this for your sake.
I appreciate it.
Mistborn is the reason that Robert Jordan's wife, Helena, Harriet. Sorry, Harriet. So Harriet Jordan, it's the reason she went to Sanderson for him to pick up and finish the series Wheel of Time, because she read Mistborn and went, you know what, Brandon Sanderson could be a great person to finish my late husband's series Wheel of Time.
Yeah, and she read both Mistborn and then read his Brandon Sanderson's eulogy for Robert Jordan and was moved by that as well. And so, yeah, without Mistborn, we wouldn't have the end of Wheel of Time as we have it. So
that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So, to give, I kind of gave a little bit of a pitch about this, kind of gave a little bit of background. Rich, you're a couple years removed, so I'll try to remind you of some plot points and gear in.
I appreciate it.
Even with your perspective, reading this a while ago, would you say I missed anything with a good pitch to bring somebody in? Is there another angle to this to go, hey, Mistborn, it's why it would be a good first Sanderson book to start if they haven't read it yet?
Yeah, it's good Sanderson book to start. I think a great fantasy book to start off with, because you have, it is a heist plot, but I would say it has quite a bit of traditional fantasy stuff with, you know, the magic system, the fighting, the action that it's kind of built in. So, yeah, it's a good all-rounder place to start for people.
If you love Mistborn, you'll love our sponsor of today's video, Displate. They have these posters from any kind of book, series, movie you could possibly imagine. They have stuff outside that too, but these artists go and make this amazing art and put it on these posters, and the posters can be put up on your wall without any screws, without any bolts. It just takes a sticker and a magnet, so you could swap them for any other poster designs you have. We have tons of them. We have Sauron here, and trust me, there's plenty of Stormlight, Mistborn, all that stuff on the website. And if you go and use our code, TOTARAMBLE, at checkout, you can get up to 30% off for these kick-ass items. And Displate sponsored us for a long time. We're super honored. Use our code, and also check out displate.com/TOTARAMBLE to check out Displates that we specifically handpicked and said, you know what, you might like this. There's some bookshelf art. There's some dragon stuff. There's some Wheel of Time stuff, as you see Rich displaying right now. But go ahead, use code TOTARAMBLE at checkout for up to 30% off to get these awesome premium posters.
They're also made out of metal.
It doesn't go so hard into the paint of a heist, kind of like Lies of Locke Lamora. Where Lies of Locke Lamora is like only a heist. That's all it is. This one, it has that traditional YA protagonist, but it's not super YA. You know, people actually die and like kind of brutal stuff. So slightly brutal, edges into like more adult themes, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still good enough for younger audiences.
That's a good point to make, because if you're looking for something that doesn't have a YA tinge to it, this definitely does. I mean, just having a 16, 17-year-old main protagonist.
Like official definition, if you would go into a library or a Barnes & Noble type deal, if the protagonist is a young adult, that makes it a YA novel.
Yeah, and also...
There are things like The Poppy War. I would not say that's for young adults, yet it features a YA protagonist. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it in the YA category, though.
Whereas this one, the themes aren't too brutal.
No.
It's not, and especially Sanderson's writing, he never gets super vulgar. He never gets incredibly intense or provocative or just something that would be more adult.
Yeah.
Adult rated. So obviously with Sanderson, there's no sex scenes. There's no, there is action, blood and stuff, but it wouldn't be anything different than you'd see like a teenager walking into a normal movie that comes out today.
Yeah.
So it's YA in that sense, but also I think it has something for everybody where it has your hard magic system of your uber fantasy nerds that are just like, oh yes, I loved seeing how this world's developed, but also your person who's a more casual reader that just goes, give me a plot I can understand that pays off incredibly well. And also it has enough for that person. So I think it's why it's a super popular book, where this book can fit a lot of people's niche. It fits a lot of niches, which makes it a good general appeal.
So, yeah. No, I think this isn't just for young adults. This is for anybody. Anybody can read this one.
Yes. And anybody, including you, if you want to join us on our Patreon, where we have a book club that is 18 plus. So we do read very adult books there. And if you want to join us to talk about books, we have a book club every single month.
By very adult, we just mean like kind of rough things. We're not just reading smut in that.
Yes, yeah.
I said just. We're not reading smut. Not not yet.
I did an ACOTAR book club with them, so.
Oh, okay.
That would count. That
kind of counts.
That counts, yeah.
The first one, not as much. I don't think we'll ever get to the actual smut ones, where it's like book 11 or something, or book 7.
You're just not trying hard enough.
I guess not.
You're not willing to go through. So this also has, and I mean, I like to mention it, 4.48 on Goodreads. It's very well acclaimed. Now, Rich, the more important rating, forget what our patrons think. Forget what the people think.
Ah, yes.
Rich, what is your Rambler rating out of 5 stars for Mistborn?
I'm giving this... an official Richard Rambler rating of 4.25.
Out of 5 stars.
Out of 5. This is really great. Really, really great.
Rich, this doesn't happen too often where we're exactly on the same page. I also gave it a 4.25 out of 5 stars.
Hey!
Really great book. I have a lot of praise to give for this.
Same here. Yep. There's nothing subpar. Everything is really good to like, great. And one particular aspect I think really shines above the rest, even better than Stormlight for me.
Ooh, yeah. Well, yes.
Yes.
When we get into
we'll get to it.
Now, what would you say the best and worst categories were before we get into them? So the things that this book aims for, people will like.
Sure. I think the best aspect is the world building and the least good aspect. I won't say bad. The least good aspect is probably thought provokingness.
Okay. I would say we probably think the same in those categories. I would think the best is world.
Yes.
And we're close. I think the plot's also incredible. And then the worst, I would say, is just prose. That's what I'd say.
Sure.
So I'd say something like that. As in worst, it's not bad prose, but you're not reading a Sanderson book for the prose, at least Mistborn for the prose. I even prefer Stormlight's prose to Mistborn, but that's just me.
Sure. So, I kind of put them on the same level. It's okay. For at least how I remember. Again, 3 years removed, so... we'll see.
Okay, I'll defend Stormlight's prose a little bit more. But you know what? Okay, that's it. We're going to get into spoilers. Big spoiler warning for you. We're talking spoilers. Mistborn, The Final Empire. Go read it if you haven't. There will be a link in the description below to get the book as well. We're going to start doing affiliate link stuff. And
we probably should.
If only Libro.fm had affiliate links for all books.
I know.
That would have been nice.
They don't have it for this one?
I'll check.
They should.
I will check. Yeah. Okay. So you ready, Rich?
Yeah.
Here we go. The first category, emotional impact. What'd you give it out of 5?
Emotional impact, I gave a 4 out of 5. I thought it was great.
I gave 4.25. So really great for me.
And think about it this way, this is 3 years removed.
Yep.
I still feel very positive about it. So I probably had a higher score just after reading it. But again, emotions die with time. So.
And some increase with time.
Some could, yes.
So like us, our hatred.
Yeah, that, well, that, see, that's the funny thing with, like, hatred and boiling resentment.
Yep.
It boils sometimes and kind of can boil over, but like a reduction, it can sometimes just boil down to a hot simmer and more concentrated, but less volatile.
You've really thought this through. You were like ready for me to say that today. You're like, I'm ready. So what emotions do you think that Mistborn was going for to invoke?
Overall, the emotions is excitement. So excitement, tense action, and a bunch of surprise. I think of Sanderson's books, this definitely has more twists. That, and of course, it's a heist. Heist stories always have their twists. Like if you have a heist story and you don't have some good twists, you did it bad.
It's like a murder mystery without a murder.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So the twists are really fun and exciting. There's a lot of tension. So those are mostly the emotions you're getting out of it. What about you?
Me being more fresh on this, I think you're exactly right, where I have down action and tension, but also that mystery and curiosity, the intrigue, a lot of the questions I was asking throughout that just kept me pulled through is, who is the Lord Ruler? What is, besides the magic system itself, just how are they going to defeat him? Who is he? And the intrigue around what Kelsier's past is, did his wife betray him? Vin and her brother. So every single question there in the background of, well, this heist, Sanderson builds up the Lord Ruler so well that I'm really just going, okay, how is this going to be solved? Who is this person? And you know that really cool moment where you're building up someone's an image of a person in your head and you're just so curious. Sanderson does this a lot in this book. He does it in Warbreaker with Susbron, I think was the, Susbron. And not spoiling Warbreaker at all, but he does something similar where there's this mystique around a person we haven't met yet. And he does it really well with the Lord Ruler, but also the action, the tension. I found myself with the pace of this book and just going, you know what? I got to keep reading. I got to find out what's happening next.
I think that's definitely a great trick in writing, in any kind of storytelling. It's instead of just showing you the character and then you can make up your own mind, it's a trick to, before you show a character, you show what other people's reactions to the character are first, and that just kind of hypes you up for it. So if, like, how do I feel about John? Well, before I even meet John, I keep hearing, like, oh, John is a monster. He's so vile and evil. And then you go, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then John's like, yeah, no, John is just conniving. And then you tell a story about John. Before you even met John now, you have this larger than life image compared to if you just saw John do these things and you kind of make up your own mind. Seeing a character through other people's eyes first is just so much more fun and hypes up the character.
Speaking of John, what does this super well is John Wick, where that phone call
exactly
scene of where John Wick won, this is first 20 minutes of the film, that son or whoever was calls the dad, the mafia dad boss, the big bad in movie one. And the dad picks up the phone and
car repairman.
The car repairman calls the dad and says, hey, your son just killed John Wick's dog. And the dad, his own son, he says, he did.
Oh,
what? And he hangs up the phone. You see the stress on his face that this bad guy who has a whole organization just is fears John Wick.
Yeah.
It's like, you killed whose dog?
It's
what?
It seems like it's such a simple trick too.
Yeah.
It's not a complex way to build up a character, but it's so effective.
Oh yeah.
And it does so well with the Lord Ruler here of you kind of get an introduction for him in the beginning. Kind of, but not really as much. It's more plot. But then you get to see the impact the Lord Ruler has from the nobles, how Kelsier fears him, how just regular citizens look upon him. So when it finally you get to the Lord Ruler, it's a lot better.
If you remember this, my favorite my favorite portion of the world and building up this Lord Ruler was that you both swear oaths and you swear his name. Like you would say, oh my God, instead you use Lord Ruler as a curse in this world. So when Vin's cursing, she'll go, ah, Lord Ruler. And then she'll get called out for it. Like, hey, we're trying to take down the Lord Ruler and you're using his own name in vain. He's that powerful, has that much of a presence that his name is God. So, yeah. Oh, okay. So builds it up so well. And with the action tension, what action scenes stick in your mind being a little bit removed from it?
Well, we're in the spoiler section, so yep. Kelsier's death. Still remember to this day just how his fight went on and just how cavalier he was about it when he failed. And you're just like, well, damn. Just, he tries the burn, he loves the metal, he tries, and like, eh, that didn't work.
Yep.
Guess I'm dead. And he's gone. That tense scene felt for my boy Kelsier, but then, of course, the ending fight scene. I love all the training aspects of how Vin learns to kind of fly using coins. And
yeah.
It's great. So I love all that action stuff.
I loved it, even though I was spoiled about Kelsier's death.
Damn.
This happened a year or two ago where someone, and because everyone assumes I read Mistborn because I'm a huge Sanderson fan. So somebody from the page reached out to us on Instagram. I was like, oh, could you believe when Kelsier died? And I'm like, oh, what? And then I said, I'm sorry, I can't read any more of your paragraph because I haven't read Mistborn yet, but I read the first sentence. And he was so apologetic. He's like, Austin, I'm so sorry. And I started crying, but it was okay. I told him it was okay. It really wasn't okay.
It's not okay.
But even with knowing that he would die, it still didn't take away from the, because I didn't know what happened after his death. It wasn't it's not just his death was the shock factor. There was more to it than just
it's the fact that he died, and it's not the end. It's like, well, what do we, there's a lot of book left, like what's gonna happen?
Yes exactly. So that the fight scene with him and the Inquisitor, you have Vin, and when she's fighting Sean Elainiel, sorry about the name pronunciations, the other Allomancer who was in the ballroom, and those action scenes, he always writes action scenes really well. So that's awesome. Would you say there was any lower emotional moment for you of like, what was maybe a drawback that kept it from going higher?
I'm trying to think, like, emotional moments. It's, I guess it just doesn't have like the peaking highs. Like I really enjoyed it, but it's not flooring me really. So even Kelsier's death is not like, it's an emotional moment, but not crazy. I'm not super attached to Kelsier. But I guess that's really it.
Just a level of emotions for you. Got it.
So I didn't break down crying at any of these scenes. Yeah. It's like, it's good. It's exciting, but not, I felt more emotionally attached for Stormlight characters.
Oh yeah.
And the emotional highs there are like almost nothing in Mistborn to me compares to the ending of book one,
which we're not saying.
I'm not saying what it is.
Yep.
The ending of The Way of Kings, that's one of the high, like, I think that's probably one of the highest emotional moments for me reading Sanderson's work.
It's for me in probably literature. I love Stormlight. Yeah. But yes, I get you. And I think that the Sander Lance here in Mistborn is also thrilling. It is just, his Sander Lanterns are always bang, bang, bang. Can't put it down at the end of the book. I have one that I didn't love. I guess this was more of an emotional theme or plot line for me. The Vin and Elend love plot line. Yeah. For me is the lower moment. Like, I wasn't super invested in that. And I thought that Vin fell in love a little quickly. And it wasn't really something that grabbed me like the other portions did. And again, it was very much a B plot line. So sure. I'm not really focusing on it, but it was like, eh, it was fine.
It added tension between her and Kelsier because he's a noble and Kelsier's like, no, all nobles should die. Then that's their purpose in life is to die at my hands. That's his goal. And so that adds tension.
Yes. Yes. Precisely.
Which shows like Kelsier's not like, he's not 100% the best guy. He's our protagonist. He's our hero, but not. He's a little flawed.
When we get into characters, I want to ask you, too, whether you see him as that hero character, the mentor character, what kind of arc you put him in. But we'll go on to thought-provokingness. Are you good? Yep. Okay. Thought-provokingness, what'd you give that out of 5 stars?
3.5. It's good.
Exactly agree. I gave it a 3.5. Wow.
Yeah. I think just the simple fact of it being, hey, what if the villain won? What's the world that they live in? And then the idea of, you know, a lot of this book deals with, do the ends justify the means? I think it does in a pretty good way because it shows the villain sees it in a way of like, hey, the ends justify the means. Kelsier also sees it that way. And at what line do you draw? So both the hero and the villain struggle with that. So it blurs the line. It's fun to think about. That's enough to get, like, it's good.
Neat. Okay. Yeah, I agree with some of those themes. The whole fear versus hope, fear versus faith and hope, and Kelsier's whole persona of trust, but mm-hmm. having his backstory as, was he betrayed by his wife, but just more, can you still trust after that? And a big quote I have here about the nature of hope, I think this encapsulates some of what the theme's going for. Here's the quote. Our belief is often strongest when it should be weakest. That is the nature of hope. So it's kind of showing how the Ska, how weak they are and feared. Weak as in they're a fearful people. And part of that piece of the magic system with the mistings that are in the ministry yeah. making it worse. But they're already disgruntled. 1,000 years of Lord Ruler's rule. So it's a very, very much looking at how can you have hope in when the world is so dark. And it has a cool theme there. But I think beyond that, it's not.
Well, it's something of you can't have. What's the purpose of hope when you've already won?
Yeah.
Hope doesn't really shine. Like, if hope is like a light and you turn on a light, you turn on a flashlight in the open daylight, you don't really see the flashlight. You only see the flashlight when it's dark. So it's the kind of thing, hope only comes around when it's dark and gloomy.
Really well said. Yeah, I like that a lot. That I think that encapsulates the whole theme.
Yeah,
that is what it is. Because yeah, perfectly said. So beyond that, do you want to?
Things are all good. You don't need hope.
No,
you got reality.
If things are all good, we don't need a podcast. Like, you think I'd be doing this if I was a millionaire? No, fuck you. No,
actually, that would be the reason. That's even better.
No, I think that's when you know you love something. We'd be doing this regardless of where we are.
Yeah,
no one forces us to do this. We don't make big bucko from this. So
we make good money though, comparatively to before.
Yes,
I'm very. We should be thankful for what we do get. Like, our patrons, it's like, it's amazing how much we actually get from Patreon and people that are viewers. It's, we got to be grateful.
It's undeserved and being grateful.
Undeserved, yeah.
And so it's a mix of both, no, we don't do this for the money, but we also got to the point where we can make money because we did it regardless of it. And now that it starts to come more and more, it's just super cool.
And even better is us being able to, you know, we can hire an editor. And we're now, like, from you guys, we're giving money to another person and helping them along. And I like that.
It is. And
capitalism
and
is Rich can, pretty cool.
Rich can go further his drug addiction.
Yeah. You know, I just pop any pill that claims to help with hair regrowth and, you know, it has some side effects, but I'm going to risk it.
Drug addiction, I was using that as a metaphor for books. Your addiction of just reading, you know, you love to use this channel as just like, give me a library.
That is true. I wouldn't have this library if not for the channel.
We've very much featured lots of Sanderson and all of his Kickstarters and campaigns ever. He is our drug.
A solid fourth of the screen real estate is Sanderson.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
You want to go into next category of characters?
Sure.
What'd you give characters out of 5-star?
4 out of 5. Think they're great.
Oh, maybe our biggest disagreement.
Mm.
Not a huge disagreement, but just number difference. I gave it 3.5 out of 5 stars. I think they're good characters.
Okay.
And I see why, because Kelsier is super lovable. Like, which character stuck out to you the most? Was it who's your best character of the book? Favorite?
I think Kelsier, he was just so magnetic that you just love following him. His personality just flew off the page where you love him. You want his death is more sad because we don't get more of him. And he was so fun to follow. So that's why his death is so impactful for me. It's, oh no, I want more Kelsier. He's so damn magnetic.
Yeah.
But I thought Vin was really, really well done. I saw a lot of similarities between her and the main character from Poppy War, but I like Vin. I don't like the main character from Poppy War. Mm. So
what did Vin do to make you like her more?
She has a pretty tragic backstory. How she overcomes her fears, compelling. her being just a hothead and trying to overcome and like try and think through her problems, don't try and force her way through. Oftentimes she seems like a feral dog that the rest of the crew picked up and is slowly becoming domesticated. But, you know, sometimes they have to let her off the chain and she goes crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, point the crazy in the right direction. So she's compelling. She's a compelling character.
Yeah, to help with that, too, with because looking back at Finn's character, you're a couple years removed from her. Like, her big sticking point or her big character flaw and arc was Reen, her brother. Do you remember Reen at all? Small portion. I don't know if he grows in the future books, but smaller portion of this book, at least. And I shouldn't say small portion, Reen's talks about Reen.
And his voice is always in her head.
Exactly.
Really at the antithesis of hope and constantly putting her down.
Saying to Vin, everybody's going to betray you eventually. And so her brother is really her internal flaw here that she's building up. She can't trust people. Everyone will betray her. And part of her growth by the end is Kelsier is just the most one of the most trusting people. And she sees how Kelsier treats his crewmates. And she, throughout the book, figures, man, is someone going to betray me eventually? Is everybody bad? She finds out that Elend, her person she ends up loving, Elend is a noble that also might be sleeping with Ska and doing horrible things. Can she even trust the person she now is falling in love with? By the end of the book, she figures out, okay, Elend isn't that bad. Kelsier did follow his word. Reen, even in the end, didn't betray me, didn't give me out even when he was being tortured. And so by the end, she realized, hey, there is good in people that I can trust, and overcomes that timidness or just that untrust of the fear she had as a thief as mm-hmm. she grew up, because she was once a thief, closed off, and now can trust.
Yeah.
That's kind of the theme of Vin's character, and that hit for you. It's a good character arc.
Enjoyable. I think all the side characters, while not like it, the whole crew is really fun. I like their banter between it. I think that really bumps it up. Maybe they're not as, you know, deep and compelling, but they're all really fun to be around. And so I really enjoy all the other characters as well.
Who's your favorite of the team? I have my own personal. Want me to name off some of them? So
help
you have some like names. Breeze, Yeadon, Doxin, Sazed, and Marsh's. Marsh is Kelsier's brother, but
Marsh.
Marsh is your favorite? Yeah.
I will say it's between Marsh and Breeze.
Okay.
So I love Breeze in this book, and I really like Marsh. Marsh overall becomes one of my favorite characters in this series.
Nice.
I think it even starts here with, you know, him being turned into a, you know, steel inquisitor. Yep. But then, you know, betraying the inquisitors and like still fighting.
Yeah,
he's cool, compelling. Like him, how strong-willed he is. To some degree, maybe even more so than Kelsier. Like, you see how they're cut from the same cloth. So yeah. I like that.
Nice. Okay, yeah, Marsh maybe in the future books will grow on me more, but he had a great presence where he was there for the twist as well. He ended up not being dead, comes in, is an inquisitor, and helps Vin. And I'll talk more of a plot with him, because I love the Sandor Lanch with him and Vin, which we'll get into in a minute. But my favorite of the side cast, the crew, Sazed. I love Sazed. He had this comforting presence. It was just part of, I thought Furukami was so freaking cool that he was storing religions and keeping alive his culture. And I was just going, Sazed, his motivation was so clear. And he was that other mentor-esque character, because I think Vin had a lot of mentor characters, because Breeze was teaching her things, and Kelsier, and Sazed, and every time she had a training arc with different mistings, that was so cool to see how Vin could interact and learn, okay, how do you soothe? Okay, how do I become a, what's that, pewter, and when you burn pewter to become stronger, or I'm forgetting which character it was that was, you're not called the thug, what is it? Is it called Thug in the end here? Good thing there's a cheat sheet at the end of the book, which essentially shows you which each one is. A Thug. Yeah, it is a Thug. A pewter arm. When it enhances your physical abilities, and she goes and learns that. Mm-hmm. But you saw all those training arcs where typically in your stories you have main character, then goes trains with the mentor figure. Mentor could die. They have to go out on their own. Where Vin
had a lot of trainers.
A lot. And so your favorite of those trainers, I mean, Marsh, I guess, didn't train her this book.
No.
But he was a part of the crew in a way.
I just liked his part in the crew of being Kelsier's second, being the brother, And then eventually the twist around him, like how much he goes through and still is fighting the good fight. He still keeps his will, even though in the beginning of the book, you kind of see him as second fiddle to Kelsier.
Yeah.
Strong in his own way. But then you see how much he really believes in the cause and can even fight the power of the Inquisitor's magic, that whole thing, the will and control. So I like that. I actually completely forgot Sazed.
Sazed. Or,
in this book.
I didn't read the audiobooks or I didn't listen, so I don't know if that's...
I love Sazed. Remember most of his plot and details. But yeah, I love his character.
So if he's already my favorite, it's only going to grow?
Oh, 100%. Oh,
good. Thanks for that.
Sorry.
Nick, could you bleep out that rich part right there?
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm spoiled, Mistborn. What is it with this book that I can't... I mean, it's so old. It came out in 2006. It's on me.
Yeah, also,
but still.
Big surprise.
Oh, what did you think of Kelsier overall? His personality, his presence.
Definitely the most magnetic character that Sanderson's ever written.
Magnetic.
On the first page, you get him. You love him. He's just this rapscallion, magnetic leader that pulls people to him. He has both he has that confidence, the swagger, but also a little bit of an edge and dark side to him. It's compelling. Though I wonder how that would work if he was the main character. I don't know if it'd work as well. I think it's great that he's the mentor.
Yeah, we get a lot of his point of views too, but his story, a lot of it's in retrospect. A lot of his arc and story happened before when he had to get ATM in the pits and snapped and became an Allomancer. That would have been more of a traditional story to tell of Kelsier's book is him getting out of the pits, the betrayal with Marsh, and he had his own heist story in the past.
Yeah.
He was a screw leader. And now that's already happened to him. It's him now doing this one last heist so that he can bring it on to Vin and let the next generation finish what he started. So, yeah, you're right. In a way, he did have a big part in this, but it was the end of his story.
Yeah.
We're not, I mean, I haven't read on, so I don't know anything else with Kelsey or what happens, but he seemed to me as well to have a great personality that, like you said, magnetic. That's a good way to put it. He had this unrelenting trust, but at the same time, some mistrust to him, or just he questioned what happened with his wife in the past, if his wife did betray him. Because when we find out in this book, to refresh, you probably know, but just to refresh on when the Lord Ruler captured Kelsier and his wife, the Lord Ruler thanks his wife and essentially says, hey, thank you for telling us where you guys were. Thank you for betraying your husband, something to that effect, to which Vin justifies later and says, hey, you know what? I think you can actually see through copper. I think you can see through the copper clouds, and there is a way for you to detect, even if you're trying to hide your allomancy, there is a way to detect you. And so Kelsier has his closure at the end there of, maybe my wife didn't. Having that faith of my wife didn't betray me, I would like to believe she didn't. He doesn't have proof either way other than the Lord Ruler's word. And that's it.
And then Vin provides the context of the Lord, the Lord Ruler could see through your copper. It didn't have to be your wife betraying you.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's two options rather than he only had the one of like, I was burning copper. There's no way he could have found us except for betrayal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you'd rather believe the positive. Why not?
Yeah, especially when you're about to die. Might as well.
Yes. I found it interesting. So Kelsier's trust as well wasn't ubiquitous with everybody. I mean, he trusted his crew, but when it came to the large army or thousands of people, he would make sure like, hey, don't let the people out of this cave or don't let them out here because someone's going to go rat. It wasn't dumb to a point of he just like walked around
trust
the streets
everyone.
Telling everybody. So he had a limit to anybody that he had a connection with. He trusted. It wasn't just trust completely blindly, although he's way more trusting than others.
I think the main thing is he is, when he trusts, he completely trusts. And he doesn't really have too many half measures. He either doesn't trust you and he'll manipulate, he'll do all these things, or he basically trusts you completely. Though, again, complex, because did he tell the rest of his crew about his ultimate plan to become a martyr? No. But he probably knows, like, hey, they're my friends. They'll probably not like this plan of me planning to die. So.
Oh, yeah. Us as friends, I'd be okay if you made a noble sacrifice, because I'd cherish it. I'd martyr you.
Yeah.
How long after my death would you talk about it?
It depends what it brings me. Would I get more views on the YouTube if I talked about your death? Or would it be how quickly do I, like, do two to ramble in every video? I, like, pour a glass out and put the drink in your seat and, like, you know, pour one out for the boy. Or how quickly do I change it to one to ramble? And then I just shift the chair over.
I'm just curious how quickly you'd replace me to where it's socially acceptable enough after death.
Yeah.
It's one of those, I mean, a more tragic way of putting it is how long after, you know, a wife or husband dies, how long after do you get married if you do? But we're not trying to be sad. We're not trying to be sad and touching here. We're trying to be funny and, like, actually, Rich, if I died, I think I'd last a year.
You think you'd last long?
I think you'd give me a year before replacement. I think
I don't think it would be a year.
Here's what I think. I think internally you'd want to do it in a week, but you're like, that's probably not socially acceptable. I need time to pass.
I think 3 to 6 months.
a solid season? You'd give me fall?
Yeah, it gives me time to take some time off. You know, your bereavement holiday, it's good.
You give me autumn. That's good.
Yeah, I could take the whole fall off.
So this video comes out, basically by Christmas, you'd be hanging out with Digger Dan on here.
Dan,
who you've been collabing with and doing Wheel of Time. Shout out to Digger Dan. He is a great
fan. He has replaced Austin when it comes to Wheel of Time.
So
it's great.
3 months' time, Dan is the new co-host.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that's great. So do you want to go on the plot?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you give plot out of 5 stars?
I gave this one, and this more subject to change, but this is, again, so far removed. I give it a 3.75. I think it's really good plot.
That's it. So I think we're flipped a little bit because I gave plot a 4.5 out of 5. So I think it's spectacular where I love the plot more. I still really enjoy the characters. The characters are good. To finish off my thing on the character section, I like Vin. Kelsey is really magnetic. I just wasn't like Stormlight or the other ones, like, boom, this is my character. I didn't feel that. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the plot, just everything comes together. Everything pays off. And I like it's classic Sandra Lynch. And not to rattle off, I'm a little bit fresher on it. Can I give you a little bit of
your opinion? Your opinion is more valuable in this context.
Well, I'll give you the frame and then it could remind you of things that happened, like if you liked or didn't like them. But essentially, promise of the story. He's breaking it down just like Sanderson wants. He says every story has a promise, progress, and payoff. Which the promise here is we get promise initially of, hey, there's going to be this big heist. We're going to take down the Lord Ruler. Kelsier comes to Vin, and we get kind of a takedown the Empire plot. But at the same time, Vin is also going to be in disguise as a noblewoman or a niece of Rax, the guy that starts with an R, and Renew. I wish I listened to the audiobook just to get the names right. I feel so bad every time I get them wrong.
It can be helpful.
Yeah. And so this is the premise of it, and we get the whole progress portion, middle portion, which we could talk about, a lot of the training arcs, and we get Kelsier is putting together an army with Yeadon. That army gets destroyed, but at the same time, so you have a lot of these moments where the plan fails, but there's a backup where, hey, even though the army lost with Yeadon, even though that the army's all dead, the army lost.
Half dead,
but it got.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Part of the garrisons in the main city. So the garrisons are still gone. So we accomplished that part, although we didn't accomplish it the way we wanted to. And so there's a lot of that. And then we have in the pit, I'm going quick version of this just to catch up big portions. And then toward the payoff portion where we get all this coming together, we have Ellen conspiring with some people to go like, let's have some more effect with the Lord Ruler. Let's see what we can do here. They're not looking for revolution. They're kind of just a couple of nobility going like, let's see what we can do.
They're basically the college students that are like kind of getting into communism. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just
the system,
like they're just constantly complaining about the system and their young kids. But in this case, they're more right.
Yeah, they're in the edgy years of like, hey, we're going to take over soon. We're going to be the bosses of our house. We got this. Yeah. And so in the payoff portion, a lot of what you happen is, again, quick, too long, don't read version. Okay. So Vin, Marsh, Kelsier dies. That big moment. The plan seems like it fails. However, it was the plan all along. Kelsier was supposed to die, and the effects of that was to make him look like a martyr, which is why Saez, where it comes in, of why he was so curious with Saez of what makes a martyr, what makes a religious figure. How can I inspire the Ska who have been so defeated this whole time? So him dying then causes the Ska to actually come up and rebel. The noble houses are in complete disarray because the whole time was built up with Kelsier and Vin and putting in these words of making them squabble and making them mistrust each other. So at the same time having the nobles fight, at the same time getting the Ska to rise up and rebel, and at the same time giving the mystery about this 11th medal that's mentioned, and how are we going to actually defeat the Lord Ruler? And we're finding out a lot about Allomancy and Farukami and seeing how these different powers work. Did I mispronounce it?
Ferrochemistry?
Ferrochemistry, okay.
Ferrochemistry.
I read it Farukami. I could be wrong again.
I don't think it's Farukami.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Ferrochemistry.
Ferrochemistry. Got it. Okay.
So, I think that sounds better.
Correct us in the comments. Let us know.
They always correct us. Yeah,
we don't have to ask. We have a willing audience to tell us what we're wrong. And it's a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so in this final moment where we're figuring out how do you defeat the Lord Ruler, a part that I loved as well is you have Marsh coming in and figuring out that you pull off the spikes of the Inquisitors, that's how you kill them, looks to Lord Ruler to go pull off his, turns out he doesn't have one. We get Vin built up to go, okay, the 11th metal, she's starting to put it together, like it's an alloy of gold, and you see your past self, but with the 11th metal, you see the past of other people, and she comes in trying to kill the Lord Ruler's image of his past self. Like, oh, you can't attack the Lord Ruler, so it makes sense if you can attack the visage of him. And she goes to swipe, doesn't work. So a lot of these times when you're on board, like, that's it. That's how you defeat the Lord. That's the connect. And then swerves you with, nope. You thought people wouldn't have thought that in 1,000 years. You're wrong. And then it's always something else. So anyway, just to kind of give the frame of reference in the plot, it was a lot of that different heists where plan fails, this action fails, there's a different way to do it. It doesn't happen how you expect. And the payoff of the story, I'm just trying to catch up the quick
I appreciate
version.
It.
So that's in a big frame of reference. Did that jog your memory about anything? And does it have you going like, okay, I remember this scene that stuck, this scene didn't stick?
I'll say this. I'm willing to bump it up to another 0.25 to give it, I'll give it a 4.
Solid 4. That's great.
A solid 4.0.
That's great.
Great. It's a great plot. It's exciting. Lots of twists and turns. Yeah. If I remember right, the pacing is also really good with this. There's not really too many lull moments. There's always something kind of exciting and interesting going on. Nothing really drags that I remember.
Yeah, and a lot of for the plot for me, so with my emotional impact, a lot of me pulling through this book was the mystery and was the mystery and the payoff of everything coming together, where no plot line was dropped, everything grew up to this crescendo and didn't feel wasted, which you have to do in a heist story, because every heist formula is you set up that these are the things you learn and attain. We see Vin learn how to become noble. We see her learn her different powers. And if the end of the book happens and all that progress that we made of her learning different things and the army being built up and all the different moving aspects of Breeze and Sazed and all the work that they made to this end goal was for naught. I mean, you could have a different message in that way, but heist story generally, yes, you learned how to do the skill, but you apply the skill in a way you didn't realize you would in the end. Heist stories, you use that in a different way to make it satisfying. Like, you didn't waste your time reading this because even though the army failed and was outside the city, the army still got rid of the garrisons, which allowed the next movement of the plan to go into place.
Yeah, it's two steps forward, one step back. You still took one step forward.
Exactly, yeah. And so with one of my favorite portions about the plot, at least in the end of this, was I finally, for once in my life, predicted something that wasn't told to me. And I was so satisfying when it happened, to where I was looking at this world, putting it together, like, okay, this is how allomancy works. This is how furukamifu chemistry, whatever the F word, happens. When it was starting to be revealed that furukami, you could hold on to things and you could start to, the power worked differently. The fuel is not the metal, but the fuel is your own physical elements. You can become weaker, store that, and then use that to become stronger later. When that happened, I went, wait a second. Wait, I had big brain moment. I went, wait a second. If Furukami works like this and Allomancy works like this, oh my God, the Lord Ruler's an Allomancer and a Furukamist. And so I said this and I was like, okay, this would be so great if it happened because it would make me feel good and egotistical. And it happened and I went, oh, I'm so smart. And it was the only time I've ever predicted something in a book.
Did you predict the idea that...
Okay, that was a quick cut because we think Rich just spoiled another thing for me. God damn it.
Sorry. Okay,
I'm reading books with you from now on. I don't like this.
I either spoiled something or I'm just really wrong.
I don't know. I'm just going to put it in one ear, out the other.
Good, don't think. Good. I don't think I spoiled anything too big.
No, it's not major. It's also...
I could be wrong.
Like, I knew a part of it. I didn't know a full part of it. It's something like that.
So yes.
We cut through it. Forget it. Anyways, the plot. The plot. The plot.
Yeah, the plot's great. You convinced me.
A part of it for me was, I think it was the strongest portion, other than the world, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it's the strongest portion for me where that's what made it less able to put down. The characters were good. The plot was expertly tropish.
Sure. Yeah. It didn't break any molds. You don't have I guess you have a main character dying in the middle, but not, where it's weird. Like, oh my God, like we just swapped main characters apparently. Everything's upside down. No, it didn't break any molds, but I mean, hey, did
Gandalf,
the mold great.
Gandalf the Mentor died as well. It follows. That's happened before, too. I think it's the thing I feel strongly about this book is Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick, fantastic movie. I feel like I can go to anybody and be like, hey, Top Gun Maverick, you're going to love this film. And almost nobody's going to walk away disgruntled. Like, if you are, you're the problem. Enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
So things like Top Gun Maverick, I've put Mistborn in that category, strangely enough. And I just mean that in the way that I can recommend Mistborn to anybody because the plot's expertly crafted in the very follow formula, but doing enough difference and making it pay off so well that, no, I there's other plots and books that I guess are crafted in a more unexpected way or just the... It's more complicated and done more, whatever your measure of literature is.
Sure.
But Mistborn does it in a way where I think it satisfies you who have read a bunch of fantasy books. It satisfies the person like Matt's fantasy book reviews out there, somebody that's read a lot more than us.
Yeah.
it can satisfy that hard line, like, man, I've read so much, I'm looking for something, and really make them happy. But at the same time, our friend Justin,
mm-hmm.
our old roommate Justin,
yeah.
We used to be roomies. Mm.
We used to be best buddies. now we're not.
And so he who is not a new reader, but just doesn't read as much.
By the way, his favorite character just in literature now is Kelsier. That's his favorite.
Nice.
Not surprising.
I understand it for sure. He has a really good presence. But Justin's favorite book now is Mistborn. It's his favorite book.
He likes it more than Stormlight.
Yes.
That's impressive.
And it satisfies a reader like Justin because the plot is so perfectly crafted for everybody to enjoy it, and it's hard to find a flaw. It's really hard to go like, oh, you did this wrong. It's just more so how much did you love the plot? Not necessarily did Sanderson do something wrong, because, I mean, really, it's incredible.
Sure, yeah.
So
I agree with that. In the same vein that the B plot of Vin and the nobility infiltration, that whole thing is basically like the love story angle. Like, do you love that? Like, but is that more character or plot problem?
Yeah, for me, it's more character between Ellen and Vin. Mm-hmm. The plot, I think the plot aspect of it makes perfect sense because we needed her to, we needed to see the noble and Ellen become king at the end, and that had a part to play mm-hmm. in the payoff, and just to see how that connected with Kelsier's plan and how Luthadel, is that the name of, how that will fare afterwards, and also having the noble houses squabble and seeing the Lord Ruler's reaction to when every century noble houses fight against each other. Doesn't really matter because in the end, he just needs to give them time to blow off steam. It happens, you know. But I think that had more of a part to play in the final act, whereas the love story was my least favorite aspect of emotionally pulling me or character-wise, but that's just neither here nor there. So,
fair enough.
A lot of this, I feel like, with Mistborn, next time we read a book, mm-hmm. I'm just going to be on the same page with you because I feel like, you know, there's two things happening right now. One, you're going like, oh yeah, that did happen. Like, I feel like I got to.
I either need to reread it.
Yeah.
Which, I want to give a little teaser for people who have watched this long into the video of one of the next books we're reading together.
Go ahead.
We're going to be actually reading Name of the Wind here together. I think next book, that the book after that, something like
that. It's coming up soon.
Yeah.
It'll be soon.
When he starts it, I am going to reread it because I want to have a expert dissertation on why the book sucks. That's my goal. I hated the book. I want to bring receipts for why I hate it.
Yeah, it's really my fault because I should have just read Mistborn when you read it years ago.
Yeah. Why didn't you just read all the same books that I read at the time that I'm reading them?
True.
That's on you.
True. So that is plot section. Do you want to go into world building?
Yeah.
Okay. So world building wise, what'd you give that out of 5 stars?
Yeah, that's definitely the highest score of 4.75.
Nearly floored you.
Nearly floored me.
I gave this one a 5-star. This is what made the book pop for me. This is what made the book.
Yeah.
So
if the combination of the setting, the world itself comes alive with, you know, the fall, the raining ash, the cold darkness of the city, then mainly how interconnected it is with the magic system, how the allomancy affects how everything runs in the city. Really cool to see, really enjoyable. Oh God, going through all these different details of, then you add on top of that the history, and we get to see how the Lord Ruler started. And everything makes sense. It's enjoyable. I'm sucked into the world. Like, it feels like a real world to me. It's why it's absolutely spectacular.
Yep. And there is just a... So when we're looking at aspects of worlds, the one this is focused on is clearly the magic system. So it's tough when you're saying, hey, does this have a better history than Lord of the Rings? No. Does it have a better geography than Stormlight? No. So each one has their pros to what makes this world feel so alive. And it all comes down to the magic system. If this hard magic system both hits for you, and it definitely did for me, where allomancy from the get-go is just so clear how it works, the hard lines and the rules created in Mistborn make so much sense of why Sanderson has his three laws of magic. His three laws are essentially what Mistborn is. One of his laws is limitations and flaws are more interesting than actual abilities and strengths of what you can do with the magic. So creating natural flaws or limitations to, hey, you only have so much metal you can build up. If you flare too much pewter, you will
burn out.
But also the flaws and limitations of how each metal works. It's not like, hey, you just fly. It's you have the particular iron pull or steel push and soothing and riding, and all of these work in very particular limiting factors. Yeah.
Do you think that it breaks the rules that he sets up? Because this was one thing I don't know if it's, does it break the rules? Is it kind of him stretching them?
Yeah.
It's like the example that we talked about before of you can actually, even if you have a copper cloud, you can see, you can just push past it and you can still see through it despite what the metal is. It, does that kind of break things of like, if you're just strong enough, you can break through the, literally all copper does is hide it if you're an Allomancer at any time. But if you just, you know,
push hard enough.
Push hard. If you just squint a little harder.
If you just keep the camera rolling.
Keep the camera rolling. Like, if you just squint hard enough, you can actually just pierce through it. Does that kind of break anything where it's like, the rule, it's weird. If you're just, well, if you're stronger, you can break through it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think the way I took it was, it wasn't just a squinting hard enough. I think this magic system is bloodline magic, where some books is you can gain powers, or it's like you use a MacGuffin to gain your power. This is all through you're born with being stronger or not. Where, hey, whenever you allomantically snap, Vin is a stronger Allomancer than Kelsier. Just she hasn't learned the skills yet, but she is born to have a bigger cap than he can, just from straight bloodline, because her dad was one of the big guys when right under the Lord Ruler. He was the top obligator. And so she had her bloodline, she was born more powerful. So it's one of those things for me where for 99% of the population, you can't squint through or like feel through. You just have to be more powerful, which I think with the Inquisitors, or why they're able to see through, is they're not exactly human. They were
given a lot of different powers.
Yeah, there's something different about them. So I don't, for Kelsier, who was one of the most powerful Allomancers we're introduced to, can't do that, or at least hasn't learned the ability to. So I think it's explained in that way.
Sure. It's just the whole magic system is such a great hard magic system of there are these rules, and this is what the metal does, and this is how it affects this, blah, 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 blah. And then you kind of get, like, if you're just strong enough, you can basically power through it. And so that's kind of weird. To me, and I don't know, it works, it's an exciting plot, so it's not, it doesn't completely break everything to me, but I'm just wondering, does that kind of, it takes a rule and just kind of bends that rule a little bit of like, well, if you just are stronger, you can basically break the rules.
When it comes to the copper clouds or seeing through, I guess I left this book, so maybe we can have a conversation about this book two or three, because I left that thinking, there's something I don't know. I left that thinking, okay, why are the Inquisitors able to? What's the answer to that? I kind of saw that magic, that addition to the rule book for me was as interesting as looking at how gold works or how the 11th metal works. And how, so for me, like the additional rule for gold was, you can see your pass off, which I'm fascinated to see how that plays out. I guess this is more plot stuff, but the end of the book had me leaving with, okay, how does the gold and 11th metal work? What was the Lord Ruler saying when you're all doomed now because you killed me, but you don't understand I was saving and protecting you all? So I'm so curious to see where that goes. But with the magic system stuff, I don't think I got the full picture. I got enough in this book, plenty in this book, to understand another one of Sanderson's laws, which is essentially the more you understand said magic, the more that when you accomplish things with said magic, the reader will be satisfied. Because if I have a grasp and an understanding of what the magic is doing, when it's used in action scenes, when he solves problems with magic, when Sanderson solves this, and it's now satisfying because I'm going, I know exactly how iron and bronze and pewter and all of these work. So it's just, it just nails it for me. And so the pushing through portion you're talking about, I'm left with a little bit of questions, but yeah, I think that it definitely does extend the rules. It's essentially doing that. It's going like, hey, here's an additional layer that you didn't know before. And
it's not like, I used a special metal that counteracts it. And that's like hard. It's more just if I push hard enough, which is odd.
Which explains your 4.75.
Yeah, just
brought it down 0.25.
That alone. No, for me, it's like, I like the history of the world, but it's, you know, really cool, but didn't floor me. And it's like, there's a bunch of little aspects like that where really good, spectacular even, but not floored.
Gotcha. I think this is a quintessential definition of just how to do a magic system for me. So I think the whole lessons that I've learned from his lectures.
How to do a hard magic system.
No,
you
correct.
Can do a soft magic system just fine.
How to do a Sanderson magic system.
Sure.
Even you can have different magic systems in any book, but from learning from his BYU lectures, which if you guys haven't checked that out, he has amazing lectures online where he teaches exactly how he writes his stories. And so this is a great example of just how Sanderson's head works and what he likes to do. And I think the thing that puts this a step above, like Allomancy, incredible. That alone, amazing magic system. Then layer on top, what he does is Ferruchemistry. When he was initially had the idea for these two magic systems, these were originally two different books. He was going to put Allomancy in one story and Ferruchemy in another story.
Ferrochemistry
in another story. Fuck you. So he had these two different systems and he was going to write books with them. He decided, you know what? These can work together in the same book. So he combines two magic systems that are deserving of their own books into one. And then I even find ferrochemistry more interesting than Allomancy in some ways.
Now, this is not a specific spoiler.
Don't
I'm
you
not
dare.
No, but everyone knows at this point with the Cosmere being, you know, the wider universe.
That yes.
Mistborn and Stormlight are in the same universe.
Got you. Okay.
They're different planets, though. We know that, like, that's understandable.
Okay.
But we know, like, oh, there's some connections between the two.
Yeah.
Did you now notice in hindsight any connections? Like, do you remember things from Stormlight going, now that makes sense?
One thing did. I saw Hoid in this book.
Yeah, you did.
That was cool.
That's a cool one.
He seemed very un-Hoid-like. It was a very weird Hoid in this board.
I love how it's
so
now canonic that he really doesn't like Kelsier. He's one of the, he just really does. He likes a lot of people. He's like, I hate that guy. He's so cocky.
Yeah. But yeah, saw Hoid, so some of that connections. But I would have to read Stormlight again to pick up on stuff. It's just so hard to remember every detail from Stormlight and then read Mistborn. So.
To give a not.
But don't spoil Stormlight for people.
Oh, so. I'm reminding you without giving any spoilers at all. The very last scene of Stormlight book 4.
The very last scene?
Very last scene.
I can't remember what the very last scene was.
The epilogue. I can't say anymore.
Oh yes. Okay. I remember exactly what that was.
Do you now understand it a little bit better?
Oh, yes, I do. Incredible.
There you go. See, I was able to get a point across without spoiling anything.
You finally did it.
Look at that. I gave enough without too much.
Yes. The very last scene.
I spoiled nothing for you. Anybody there.
Yep. And I totally get what you mean. That's great. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. Oh, now I have to read all of Mistborn and then Stormlight again.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think I do have to read Stormlight again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll reread Mistborn. I may. But I do need to read... like secret project, but
Secret
Wars.
This revelation you're getting, my mind's blown.
I'm helping
right now.
You?
That makes so much sense.
The secret history, I need to read that. And then Era 2, we'll be reading Era 2 together.
Together, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We will actually be reading them one by one together.
This series will be continuing. This isn't it. We're not just going to give you Mistborn and then Blue Ball. Yeah, we're going to keep this going.
Should I read book 2 with you?
If you want.
I may have to.
If you're feeling it.
Can I
it
just...
It would help. I feel like this conversation is just very one-sided. I would love for you to read it.
I may have to. Yeah. I'll try my best.
And also, it's tough because I wouldn't be able to, like 2-3 years ago, I wouldn't be able to bring up. And it's tough. It's tough because even with Stormlight, what I remember about Way of Kings, the payoff. Obviously, there's big moments, but there's no way I'm going to remember a 1,000-page book. In my head, it's 10 pages.
Sure.
In my head, Way of Kings is a solid 10-page book. So for Ferruchemistry, and I hate you if I'm saying this wrong now.
I'm pretty sure it's ferrochemistry.
Fair enough. So ferrochemistry to me had more interesting strengths and weaknesses. And what you had to actually do to gain your power of be physically weak for this long or grow, become older so then you could become younger. The flaw, the limitation to that magic where you have to store it up is just so cool because you have to do that to yourself and then you only have so much in reserves. It's just, it's a great way to give yourself powers. Where when Sayz goes and saves Vin in this book, we find out later that he was able to store a bunch of strength and then able to just whack the guy out of into oblivion because he was like four times as powerful or however many times as powerful. Mm-hmm. Whereas Allomancy has some strengths to it where you burn the metal and you get to do the thing. But for chemistry, you can be more powerful than an Allomancer if you save up enough, whatever of that ability is.
There are more consequences with ferrochemistry. With Allomancy, there's not really consequences. There's just hard rules.
Limitations. Yeah.
There's limitations, but not consequences. Yeah. Because, like, other than, like, oh, you use it too much and you could hurt yourself, I guess. But, you know, there's nothing.
The limitations are this metal does this. And it, you can't use iron pole to do anything else but.
Yeah.
Do, that is only what it does. So it has those limitations. But no, it's not crazy of a
where
flaw of.
Ferrochemistry doesn't really have too many limitations. Really, it doesn't have a limitation, really.
Good
like,
point, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Hypothetically, you could save up your strength for 50 years. And then
be the strongest grandpa on planet
like,
Earth.
Would you be able to just break the world? Like, I lifted a city. I don't know.
Patrick Starr, we're going to push it like, somewhere else.
Like, not even save it up. Like, you save up your entire life, all of your strength.
Yeah.
Could you just one push, like, bench press the city? I don't know.
Wow.
So, like, there's no limitations, but there's consequences.
Yes.
Which is, it's a cool way to put them together in their own little category.
Yeah, it satisifies both those. Because if you like flaws more, if you like limitations more, here's both. Mm-hmm. Complain now, reader. You know, I love that. And the other aspects of the world that we touched on earlier with the Lord Ruler, the culture, just how the world works. Hey, ash fell from the sky. The whole mist. It's a cool vibe. It's neat. And how the Mistborns go out and right and the guards don't ever pay attention because they're like, oh, it's a Mistborn. I'm not touching them. They're just going to do misting things. That's cool. And the Lord Ruler.
The capes. The capes are cool imagery.
Capes are always cool.
It's the strips. And it's not a cape, but it's like frilly. I don't know. You could image screen.
No, you did perfect. No, that was great.
This is enough. Yes. Yeah. You can look it up. It's fine. It looks cool.
I mean, it's
I like
on
it.
The cover, right? Is it on the cover there?
Not really.
No. Is that not her cape?
It's not the correct image. It's like a cape, actually, rather than what a lot of the other art shows.
Okay. We'll find something. Here we go.
There we go.
Oh, that was from when you spoiled things. Yes, I threw it down. Okay, mm-hmm. We're good now. So that part of it. Also, the culture in the world of Lord Ruler. We were talking the Lord's name in vain, but also the Ska, how defeated they are. Mm-hmm. And the Mistwraiths creatures.
Yeah.
Those are super cool.
I completely forgot about them.
Now that I mentioned Mistwraiths, what do you think?
I completely forgot. I still don't know what they are.
They are the creatures that the Lord Renew, our Lord that was pretending to be a Lord, the Kelsier killed the other nobleman. You remember that person, right? So he ended up being a Mistwraith. The Mistwraiths we get introduced to in the first act of the book where Vin and Kelsier are out in the mists. They see a Mistwraith and it collects creatures and bodies. It could have a human head, a deer antlers, all these different creatures. It collects them. And at the end of the book, Kelsier's bones are used by Mistwraith to make it look like Kelsier's alive to further the mystique that he was actually came back from the dead and could be a godlike figure and rile up the Ska to rebel. So that's what the Mistwraith does. So it wasn't just world building thing. It also was connected to the plot and how the solution came to Kelsier's overall goal, which again just makes everything connects. It's so cool. But does that remind you of the Mistwraiths?
It does. Thank you.
And so there was other cool things. We had the Inquisitors. We have the Terrasmen, who are Sazed, his culture, the Terrasmen, and how the Lord Ruler wanted to kill up all the terrorist men because he didn't want there to be another Furu chemistry and an Allomancer child, because then they could challenge him. So he was one of the, again, this magic system is very much bloodline related, that mm-hmm. you could only get the magic based on who your parents are or grandparents and so forth. So it has that limit on it as well. You can't, again, why the Ska can't really rebel, because all the Ska are just, they don't have the blood.
Yeah.
They don't have the blood. And on top of that, I'm rambling a lot, sorry. But on top of that, that's why it connects to the Lord Ruler making it and outlawing it to sleep with a Ska and let them live. If you sleep with a Ska woman, you must kill them, because you can't have someone like Vin born. Mm-hmm. Because Vin was only born because her father didn't kill her mother. And that's what, you remember that scene at the end where mm-hmm. her father was killed because Vin is found out to be an Allomancer and
yeah.
his son. So that's another part of it. Did you have any other thoughts on the world and the culture? And
I think we talked about magic. It pretty well. Overall, it's magic first, and it does it amazing. Spectacular magic, and the everything else surrounding the world is really well done. It's not... like that's where most of the focus is. Am I saying that the culture is the best ever? No, but everything around it connects really well. That gives you a great sense of immersion. And that's the whole point of world building, is
absolutely
great immersion.
Absolutely. And I mean, on that culture point, it's not the focus, but it does a really good job at, hey, everything's connected to the Lord Ruler, where there's blasphemous texts you can't read. And mm-hmm. it all makes sense why the culture is the way it is. But again, the magic, allomancy, and Furu chemistry is what makes this world immersive. And just this little cheat sheet at the end that I loved here, which goes through the eight big ones, which is iron, steel, tin, pewter, zinc, brass, copper, and bronze, and how you have a different name for each of them, like your lurchers, your coin shots, your tin eyes, your rioters, soothers, etc., and how mistings exist where they can only do one thing. But the cool aspect of with Vin and learning all these different abilities is Kelsier could teach her things, but you could almost spread yourself too thin, where Kelsier was really good at a lot of things. But Mistings could be extremely good in one thing, because that's the only power they have. So there's even an advantage to the Mistings where, hey, sure, Kelsier can do more and is overall more powerful. But if you want a really good soother, go to Breeze. I mean, if you want a really good thug, go to et cetera, et cetera. So that's a cool aspect. And I feel like we just got to talk about Allomancy a lot. It was a big section of the book, so it deserves some time.
It deserves most of the time, yes.
And the thing I'm so curious about, it didn't answer every question for me, but again, I don't know where it's going, but to see what gold and the 11th metal, the alloy does, to see how past selves of others works, I can't wait to see what Sanderson has in store.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Though, I want to add a detail. This is something I haven't read, so we'll be getting to Era 2 eventually.
Okay.
From what I hear, Era 2 has a lot more complexities with the magic system. That it does a really great job of going deeper. Maybe like magic system doesn't become like suddenly wider, just becomes deeper. Like there's more details and like really fun. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect when we eventually get to it as well. Neat. So I think it just adds. So I haven't read Era 2, so I could be wrong, but that's what I remember and what people have told me.
I'm imagining like Red Rising.
Sure.
The Era 2 of Red Rising is
sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'll stop talking your ear off. You ready?
Yep.
You ready for the last section here? Pros. This is gonna be the lengthiest talk, okay?
Oh yeah.
What'd you give pros out of 5 stars?
3.75.
Really?
Yeah, 3.75.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. Yeah. I didn't think I'd go lower than you on this.
I'll be honest. Again, far removed. I thought it was about in line with... I think it's really good.
Okay.
About in line with Sanderson. Like if,
yeah.
Yeah. Can't give it that great status, but pretty smooth.
To your credit for giving it higher, one thing that I really enjoyed at the end was the last line made me smile so hard. Okay? The last line of the book... where she sees Ellen. Here we go. "Ellen Venture," she said, standing up. "There is something I've been meaning to tell you for some time." She paused, blinking away her tears. "You read too much, especially in the presence of ladies." He smiled, throwing back his chair and grabbing her in a firm embrace. Vin closed her eyes, simply feeling the warmth of being held. and realized that was all she had ever really wanted.
It just
makes me smile. Even though I didn't love the love story, at the end I was like, okay, fine. Love story is fine. That was cute. So that made me smile at the end. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you that. Sanderson's prose. I guess in this one I was kind of more attuned to a couple things since I know Sanderson so well. I noticed the raised eyebrow every time.
Yeah.
Because people have told me. So he uses that a lot. But the main thing with this is I think,
to give context, a lot of characters, when they're talking, and Sanderson will describe, but in response, he raised an eyebrow. Like, he says that a lot with every character.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's funny.
It's funny when you notice it's a funny part
of the community that you notice it now.
Yeah.
And so a lot of with this, too, came out 2006. I think this was his second book that came out. Officially published book. I think it was Elantris, then this.
I believe so.
If not, it was like very early on. And so a lot of what I was reading into this, because it came off a bit YA, I guess I was used to his Stormlight prose, which I think is great. I really enjoy his Stormlight prose and the big lines, epic one-liners, the world immersion it gives you. Again, there's better people that do prose. I know Sanderson's strength. He can write amazing prose. It's just he's pumping out books, okay? He's churning out amazing books without...
To some degree, with his style, I think this is best in line with his style. It's a bit more fast-paced, quick.
Yeah.
Where
action scenes are really great.
Yeah, exactly. With Stormlight, there's these big description lines where I almost prefer someone like Christopher Rocchio. When you're going into details about the world or a big speech, I like Christopher Rocchio's big, heavy descriptions versus Sanderson's big, long descriptions. Do you kind of get what I mean? Like, Stormlight is that style that I would prefer other people's style to. Like, Name of the Wind, despite not liking the book, Patrick Rothfuss, when he does those big... big world description.
Lines.
Yeah, I prefer that. Versus what I like about Sanderson is some fast dialogue between it, some pretty witty or, you know, smooth dialogue, the fun action going back and forth, which I don't think that's what Mistborn is. It doesn't have some of those frills that Stormlight does. So in many ways, I kind of prefer it.
So you prefer the Mistborn prose over Stormlight prose? Just of how it works with the book.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. To some degree, I think this is what Sanderson's prose is really geared toward. Like this is the kind of book that I like him in.
That's the difference. I prefer Stormlight's prose, at least over Mistborn's. He doesn't write poorly. That's not what we're saying. But just with Mistborn's prose, I think the biggest difference from his other books is this one. I think the dialogue and the character voices, although good, I think it comes across as more... less natural than some of his other books. Some of the lines back and forth, I think a lot of the reason I didn't love the love story between Vin and Elend is that some of the dialogue lines just seemed less natural than his other ones, and I know he does better. So some things like that, he writes the action really well. It's a well-written book, but just I'm pretty neutral on just, hey, there was some lines unnatural, less like, eh, and then there were some really good stuff. So I'm mixed on it does what it sets out to do, and I'm completely like, hey,
nice. Hey, I could very easily be wrong on this one. This is probably this one and plot were the ones I forgot the most. Like, I remember the most about the world. I can probably get my opinion a lot better on it versus the prose. Like, it's been a long time since I've read it. I just have very positive memories on the prose. So
you don't need to remember the whole thing. How about this? You just rate like we did before the first line.
Good.
Okay. The first line, Ash fell from the sky. Rate it out of 5 stars.
3.
If that's emblematic of the whole book, I don't know.
I don't know. Thing is, though, you get some good stuff.
Yeah, you do. Like, no, there is really good stuff. The action scenes mostly are what's probably the best written.
Yeah, and so the action scenes, and that's
what fair score. Fair score. That is Mistborn.
Got to it.
We finally did. I don't even have to read on because you spoiled the damn series. So I don't have to read on anymore. But if you're out there and you want to contact us or leave a comment about Mistborn, please don't spoil us. Although it's well-intentioned. I know people are excited to talk about it. Rich, what do you think overall about our continuing in the series? Are you going to continue with rereading with me? Are you going to jump back into, are you going to start rereading with Era 2? Are we going to discuss books 2 and 3 without you doing that? What do you think?
We'll talk about it, depending on, because I have a bunch of other books that I'm trying to read. And
yeah.
But the books that I'm now reading, it seems like a series that you're not going to continue on. So should I be reading those, or should I spend the time reading stuff that you're reading?
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
There's so many books, new books to read or books I haven't read yet. It feels odd to reread something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Should we tell them the reason we're really reading Mistborn? We waited till the end to tell the true fans.
I guess so.
Should we tell them?
I think by the time this video comes out, it'll be
announced. Close enough to that.
Yeah. But
at the beginning, we kind of skirted around this. And if you stayed, hey, how are you? Leave a comment saying nothing. I don't know. I don't know what to say at the end. But reason where I'm pushing to read Mistborn now, where I wasn't as motivated before, we're going to Dragonsteel. And not only are we going to Dragonsteel, but
we are going to be panelists on Dragonsteel. So,
so cool.
As of this moment, as of recording, don't know which exact panels we're going to be on, but by the end of the month, you know, a couple weeks from now, we'll know what panels we'll actually be doing. But it looks like we'll be doing a few panels.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I gotta be up to date on my Sanderson knowledge, yeah, so I'm not spoiled and I can give not well-informed, but informed takes on Sanderson's works. So
it is an honor to be the panel. That is so cool that they even reached out to us. And one of you out there messaged and sent something to Dragonsteel. We're like,
It was a comment. Within the first 5 minutes of Sanderson one of his announcement videos of talking, like, hey, if
you're
looking for panelists and all this, someone out there within 5 minutes of that video dropping put our names, like, oh, you guys have to have Two to Ramble on. And one of the people at Dragonsteel saw that come through, like, instantly. It's like, oh, I guess I'll look them up. And so that's how it started. So thank you, random commenter.
Yeah. You guys are great sometimes.
Occasionally. They do nice things.
They're pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. If they're watching to the end, they're part of the good group. We like them.
Exactly. Yeah. They're the exclusive group. We like that core audience.
If you haven't watched our full videos, we do make fun of the people who click off all the time. So, like, exactly. If you've ever clicked off on other videos, we've probably talked bad about you in the past. I think that's fair to say.
We keep our true opinions to the last, like, 5 minutes of the video.
Every time. That's where we make all of our announcements.
that's not wise. That's not a wise thing to do.
Hey, we're panelists. Like, two people are like, oh, did you?
Oh.
And other people are like, what are you talking about? So that is Mistborn. So that's why we're more motivated and why I've been motivated to read it quicker so that I'm caught up before December.
Yep.
So we'll see you with book 2 when we review that, but also whatever episode comes out next episode. Rich, was this a good one?
This was a fun one.
Dan? Do you know that reference? The Dan reference? Intentionally Blank with Storm.
Oh, yeah. Dan.
Isn't Dan their guy?
Yes.
If you know that reference, comment Dan. I think his name's Dan. No, oh, wait. It's not Ben. Ben is what he says.
Ah.
I screwed it up.
You did.
Ben. Now we can cut off. And if you don't know that reference, it's Intentionally Blank, the podcast with Sanderson and Dan Wells. They always shout out to Ben to end their episodes. I feel like we should do that now.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Bye, Ben.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.